Morning. Good to be with you, beloved. It was a joy for us this morning to remember our blessed Redeemer, the one who went to the cross, and just before he went to the cross, he instituted that feast that we partook of this morning, reminding us that each time we do it in remembrance of him. There's a song that says, lest we forget Gethsemane, lest we forget thy love for me, lest we forget thine agony, lead us to Calvary. That's the place we need to be. One hymn writer refers to Calvary as a trysting place where heaven's love and heaven's justice meet. Let me make sure I have this. Okay. I have to get the timing right here. Let's read from Genesis in chapter 12, please. Genesis in chapter 12. We're going to look somewhat at the life of Abram. He began with the name Abraham, exalted father, and later on God changed his name and called him Abraham, the father of all living, or the father of the multitude. In chapter 12 it says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. Into the land of Canaan they came. Abram passed through the land unto a place of Shechem, unto the yoke of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. The Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from there into a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed on still toward the Negev. Verse 10 says, and there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And chapter 13 and verse 1 says, Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the Negev. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the Negev even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, onto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. We're going to look at four steps in the life of Abram. God had called this man out of Ur of the Chaldeans, out of a place of idolatry, and God had promised him a land. Not only did he promise him a land, but he promised him a family, a new family. He promised him blessing, that in him and in his seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. The first step we want to look at in the life of this man, Abram, is in verse 5. It says, Abram went forth. Abram went forth to go into the land of Canaan. That's separation. Then in verse 10 it says, Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there. That's failure. Then it says in verse 1 of chapter 13 that Abraham went up. That's restoration. He went up out of Egypt. That's restoration. Then in verse 3 he says, and he went on his journey. That's progress. He went forth in separation. He went down in failure. He went up restoration, and he went on in progress. On several occasions, this man, Abram, was called upon to be separate. First, God says, leave your family. Leave your kindred, leave your father's house. And Abram went forth. When we look in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, and also in the book of Romans, it says, he went forth not knowing where he went. It was a step of faith. Could you imagine him packing up and some neighbor would come by and say, Abraham, what are you doing? He says, I'm leaving. And he says, well, where are you going? He says, I don't know. You wouldn't think very much of a person. I'm leaving, I don't know where I'm going. But he knew the one who called him. Then he was called upon to be separate from Lot, his nephew, because, you see, they weren't getting along. His herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen were not getting along, and Abraham was a man of peace. And the man that he had raised, his brother's son, he had to be separated from him because they were not in agreement. And the Bible says, two cannot walk together except they be agreed. Another painful separation for Abraham. Abraham, by this time, when Sarah said to him, You have to cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with my son. That was hard for Abraham. And he didn't like that too much. But when it came from God, coming from Sarah, he wasn't ready to accept that. But when it came from God, he says, all that Sarah has said unto you, you must do. Then Abraham didn't hesitate. He got up early in the morning and he sent them away. Hagar and Ishmael, he sent them away. Separation. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. Separation is not always easy. Sometimes you have to leave things behind that are dear to your heart. Separation, when we think of the scripture reference of separation, separation is in two parts. You, first of all, as a Christian, you must be separated from the things that are an abomination in the sight of God. You have to be separated from evil. And every Christian must be separated from evil. But there's another aspect of separation where we are called upon to be separated unto God, to be set apart for God, separated into his service. Abraham was called upon to be separate from the place of idolatry and at the same time to be separate unto God. To be set apart for God. Get thee out of thy country and from thy father's house. He didn't know where he was going. But God had promised him a land. It was a land that he had never seen. But he obeyed, and that's what faith is all about. Faith is taking God at his word. For too many in our time, if we can't see it, if it doesn't make sense to us, if we can't cross every T and dot every I, if we can't put it together, then we are not going to move. But not Abraham. Abraham went forth not knowing where he was going. Separation. In verse 9 it says he was separated from Lot. He told Lot, you look at the whole land and you make a choice. If you go to the east, I will go to the west. The whole land is before you, he says in verse 9 of chapter 13. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. We know that Lot was about material gain. It was not about glorifying God at all. And that's the difference between the carnal man and the spiritual man. He lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered. We call prime land for cattle. that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even at the garden, as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. So he separated himself from Lot because he says, let there be no strife between us. Now, some people like to stay and fight, you know. Stay and fight. And we get a clique here and a clique there and we get followers. Abraham says, we are brethren. That's not what we are about. We are brethren. Let there be no strife between us. In the prophecy of Amos, it says, in chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, can two walk together except they be agreed? There must be harmony, harmony among God's people. Look at the land and see, make your choice. If you go one way, I will go to the other. He went forth because God had called him to a life of separation. And a Christian today, beloved, and we don't hear a lot of preaching on separation, but the Lord has called on his people to be separate. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, to come out from among them and be separate, said the Lord. He says, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, said the Lord Almighty. You have to separate yourself from evil. Separate from those things that displeases God. And beloved, when we are separated from evil, then we are in a place where we can be separated unto God. This is the other aspect of separation, when we are separated unto him for his service, for his use. In the case of Barnabas and Saul in Acts chapter 13, it says, they were in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius and Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul, and they ministered unto the Lord, and so on. And the Lord says, separate me, verse 2, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work unto which I have called them. You see, first they were separated from evil, and now they are separate unto God for the work which the Lord had called them. Paul the Apostle, we know how zealous he was, you know how hateful he was of the Lord's people and how he persecuted the church, but the Lord saved him by his grace. And the Lord separated him unto the service of himself. And Paul in the book of Galatians speaks of that separation when he wrote this in Galatians chapter 1, is verse 15. He says, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. God called me by his grace, and God separated me from my mother's womb, and he separated me into his service. When it pleased God, get thee out of thy country. Get thee out of thy father's house. Separate yourself from your kindred. That was not easy. But Abraham obeyed, and he went forth not knowing where he went. The Apostle John speaks of the traveling preacher, the minister of the gospel, whom he commended to the saints. He commended them to the saints for their hospitality, that they would show kindness and hospitality to the people of God. And he says this in 3 John and verse 7, speaking of the servants of the Lord, says, because for his name's sake, the name of the Lord, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. That's why we prefer those on the mission field. They went forth, they separated themselves from, they could have been making a living here. They left their country. Now they left families. They left employment. And they have gone forth, no one promising them anything. They took nothing of the Gentiles. They went forth in faith, believing God, believing that God will supply all their needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's why we pray constantly for the missionaries, those who have gone forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. Get thee out of thy country. Leave your father's house. Leave your kindred behind and go to a land that I will show thee. God's first promise was to show him the land, and later on, God had promised to give him the land. Step number two in the life of Abraham, and you know the best of men are but men. And we certainly admire this illustrious servant of the Lord. We certainly would desire to emulate all his great qualities. This man of faith, this man who was the friend of God, in order to be called the friend of God, Jesus says, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And Abraham really met those qualifications. He was truly a friend of God. And the Bible says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. When God called him to leave his country, his kindred, and his father's house, he went out and he obeyed. And God called him to get rid of Ishmael, the bond, and Hagar, because it was in Isaac, shall thy seed be called? He obeyed and he sent them on their way. When God called on him to offer up his son, his only son whom he loved, he obeyed. But Abraham was but a man. The only person in all the Bible you cannot find anything negative against is the perfect, the only perfect man who ever walked with sin. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. And he challenged even those who were hostile towards him. And he said, which of you convicted me of sin? There wasn't a single person, the absolute perfect Son of God. But Abraham was a great man of God. But he failed in certain instances. And this is one of them here. In verse 10 of chapter 12, it says, and there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down into Egypt. Failure. He went there to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. He forsook the place of blessing, the place that God had called him to sojourn. He left that place because of some testing, because there was a famine in the land. And too often, beloved, we don't do well when we are tested. And we seem to do things that are seem right in our eyes and convenient. But when you think of Abraham going down into Egypt, you think of the Christian going out into the world. And the world is at enmity with God. Egypt is a type of the world. And this is what we read in the prophecy of Isaiah concerning Egypt. It says, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help. Woe. And rely on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. You're looking for human help. You're looking for man's help when God has placed you at a particular place and position and tell you to dwell there, and yet you think you have a better idea because something, some difficulty arose. That's failure. He went down, and we know that after one failure, another and another. Because once you're in the wrong place, once you're outside the will of God, then things, evil will multiply. And it happened to Abraham. He went down to Egypt for help. He left the place that God had called him to sojourn in. Before you know it, he's trying to survive. And the first thing happened, he said to his wife, chapter 12 and verse 13, say, I pray thee, thou art my sister. That's down in Egypt. He's in the wrong place. He's in the world that's diametrically opposed to God's will. Say that you are my sister. Maybe you say, he wasn't lying. He was half right. She was his half sister. But the intent was to deceive. And he was strictly thinking of self-preservation, and he was exposing his wife to a heathen king for his personal survival. Say that you are my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee." It was all about him, all about his survival, and nothing about what God had said, "I will make of thee a great nation." You see, it was through Sarah that the seed would come, and if she was violated by a heathen king, then Satan was able to corrupt the seed, you see. So we got to be careful when we do things for ourselves, for us, for our own survival. We have to look at the big picture. Who else is it going to affect? It's going to affect God's program. And God protected that lady. She protected Sarah, lest the seed should be corrupt. And the Messiah could not come, you see. God promises that in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. This was major. And God had to intervene. So when you say, "Well, this is my life and I can do it the way I want," you have to think of others. You have to think of how you're affecting the testimony of the Lord and the Lord's people. "Say you are my sister." And when the king rebuked him, he said, "I could have taken her to be my wife." What a tragic thing that would have been, except that God is still on the throne and he will remember his own. God made a promise, and God was going to preserve it. Satan's purpose is to destroy. He is the one the Lord Jesus referred to as the thief who cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But he said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." While he was down in Egypt, this man of God, who was characterized by three things, and we're going to look at that maybe later if we have the time: an altar, a tent, and calling upon the name of the Lord. Now he's in Egypt, and he's looking to the king for his support. He's looking to Egypt. He had no tent. He was supposed to be a pilgrim. Down in Egypt, he had no tent. He called on the king of Egypt for help. That's not where we need to be. "Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord." He's coming, and now he's like Lot. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. He looked for personal and financial gain. It was not about being a pilgrim. It was not about having a testimony for the Lord. It was all about him going down to Sodom. And before you know it, this man was a judge. He was found in the gate. He became a politician down in Sodom. And when the angels went down to Sodom to destroy that city, and you know how they insisted on having the men of Sodom wanted the angels to come out, and how Lot had offered them a compromise, offering them his daughters instead. And they rebuked him and said, "This man came to sojourn. He came to sojourn. He came here under the pretense, I'm not staying, I'm just visiting. He came to sojourn, and now he is a judge. He abandoned his tent, and he built a house. That's permanence. You don't build a house when you go to a place to visit. You pitch your tent. In our time, we rent a place for a week or so. He came to sojourn, and now he is a judge over us. Went down. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. This was a bump in the road for Abraham. This is one of his few failures that we can think of. You know, Paul the Apostle was zealous in his ministry, and he had some good helpers. Sometimes he referred to them as fellow workers and fellow prisoners. People who worked with him in the spread of the gospel. When he came to the end of his life and he was writing to Timothy, he wrote of one who fell by the way. I want to read you what he says concerning this servant. Now you read other places, this man was prominent in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. But he said to Timothy in the last chapter, chapter 4, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, Egypt, and is departed to Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Demas forsook me. He got carried away with all the splendor, all the dazzle that's in the world. And believe me, beloved, Satan would always lift up these things for us. He tried it with our Lord. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, I'm going to give this unto you. But he was dealing with God, the eternal Son. You get behind me, Satan. But Demas, he fell for it. He fell for the glitter. And Paul, alas, must write to Timothy. He says, having loved this present world. One great thing about this closing chapter, the one that Paul had given up on earlier, because of his early failure, John Mark. Paul is saying to Timothy, now you can bring him along because he is profitable to me for the ministry. Bring him along. But Demas, no, he forsook me, having loved this present world. 1 John chapter 2. Speaking of Egypt, speaking of the world, Abraham went down into Egypt. 1 John in chapter 2 says, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So the world passeth away, and the lust of it, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Abraham went down to Egypt, and he had to be driven out. Pharaoh said, now you leave. Take your wife and get out of here. You know, it's one thing to fail, beloved. It's one thing to go down to Egypt. It's quite another to stay in Egypt. And that's the difference between Abraham and so many. We get mixed up in the world that we don't even remember that we don't belong. We become part and parcel of a system that is opposed to God. A system, that's what the world is. It's an order. It's a system that's opposed to God. We don't remember. But Abraham went up. And that's where we're going to pick it up in the next session. Abraham went up. Restoration. Think of Samson, that great man of God, whom God had endowed with such power. He went down to Timnath. He went down as well. Saw a woman of the Philistines, and he told his father, get her from me, for she pleaseth me well. Egypt, the world. We don't have to stay there, beloved. Abraham went up. Abraham went up. And that's where we're going to begin this, the next session. God bless his word. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy precious word. We read that whatsoever things are written aforetime are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. We thank thee for the life of this great man of God, who was a man of faith, a man who believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Yes, he failed, but he did not remain in failure. He was restored to thyself. Give us grace, Lord, that to remember if we have fallen, to repent and to return to the Lord. And like David, we might pray, Lord, restore unto us the joy of thy salvation. We ask thy blessing on thy word and blessing on the hearts of thy people here. Encourage the saints and strengthen them by thy spirit, with might in the inner man, and revive us all, we pray, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.